You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, live right here in the Right Side studio, local, state, national. We got all the stuff, man, all the issues, and we remain solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, listen, if you want to call in, we've had plenty to talk about, and I'm going to jump into another piece of the triple dipper here in just a minute. I'm calling it the brick-and-mortar rebound. I'll talk about that here in a second. Before I do, let me just say this. You want to call in? 866-494-9866. And I do have one caller who called in during the break and held on through the break, so let me just grab that real quick. Line two, Paul from Huntsville. Hey, Paul, how you doing, man? Kelsey, do we have Paul?
I don't hear Paul. I guess he hung up.
All right. Well, Paul, you're welcome to call back. But folks, listen, you want to call in, I'll take them. 866-494-9866. So far today, we have talked about Bidenomics. We've talked about what I call the high times and cash crops of the medical marijuana industry forming in Alabama. And now I'm going to talk a little bit about brick and mortar, like brick and mortar rebound. You know the deal, COVID. COVID world happened. COVID world came around. And a lot of life had to shut down. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Remember that? 2 weeks to flatten the curve. How flat can the curve get? Well, 2 weeks turned into 2 years plus. And there were times, though, when you look at it and realize that, okay, I'm not sure how we justify this. But it did get local decision-making involved. You began to see who was, you know, of a more of a mindset towards liberty as opposed to who was not. Even in Alabama, the red state supermajority, Governor Ivey decided to pick the winners and losers and declare that some businesses were essential while others were not. I got news. If it paid your paycheck, it was essential to you, wasn't it? But are we regrouping now? Are we heading back in? Boomer, I tell you what, grab the mic, bud. So I see you guys, I mean, I see y'all at church, so you're obviously out there seeing folks gathering.
Yep.
But you came out of being up in Nashville, so bigger city, different state. You just moved back here recently. What did you see in Nashville? What's the trend up there?
Oh, I mean, honestly, it's the same thing, just in a greater scale.
Okay. So, I mean, were people willing, unwilling to gather, like, most recently?
Well, most recently, I mean, just take my church, for example, back up in Nashville. You started seeing more people started coming, but then I have obviously some friends and that I knew up there that just honestly never started going back to gathering because they got used to being in their homes and watching church on live streams and things like that.
What did it do? I mean, I know you worked in the music industry for a while too. What did it do to the music industry in terms of concerts and that kind of thing? I had to shut that down for a while.
Oh, wow. Yeah. At the time, it shut it down pretty hard. And I had some really good friends that were really taken back by that. But now they're finally back on the road again. I mean, different venues have different, you know, policies and stuff. But now, I guess more so people are just now excited to get out again, I think, for at least the concert stuff. Yeah. And they're starting to crowd everything again, and concerts are back up to, if not where they were, they're about to be, I believe.
Well, let me ask you this, too. Did you ever see or hear of artists setting their own requirements on the venues? Because Charlene and I went to Savannah. This will be last fall. We saw two different concerts. We saw a Christmas concert on one night put on by an orchestra. The next night we saw Chicago. I mean, you know, I still love Chicago. They're still kicking. But so the night we saw Chicago, it was just like ollie ollie income free. It was like, and they were even saying on stage, ain't it great to be together? Yeah. The next night, Christmas concert, it was the artists had set a standard that you had to have a mask or they would not perform. I mean, what are you seeing?
I mean, honestly, you've seen that in the, especially, I don't know as much recently, like right now, but definitely before, artists make the decisions, or their management company, or or their, you know, promotional companies. There's so many things that go into it, but yeah, I mean, they make those decisions that they don't want to be around some people, or they're scared for their own health, and they're like, hey, we can't have this, or hey, I need y'all to wear masks. It's, I mean, you see that a lot.
I remember seeing not long ago Foo Fighters had to cancel a concert. Of course, they lost their drummer Taylor Hawkins to an overdose apparently recently. But they had to cancel a concert. They were big into the masking. We have to have a vaccinated audience kind of thing.
Wow.
And then they caught COVID anyway, and they had to shut down a concert. One of the band members did.
Yeah, well, I just know recently one of the bands that I was working with, they actually had to cancel half of the tour because it started going through their band members.
Wow. All right. Well, nonetheless, I think what we're seeing, thanks, Boomer. Yeah. I think what we're seeing, though, is that brick and mortar is making a rebound. And I'm glad of it. And I'm curious, by the way, if you want to call in 866-494-9866, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about was, what about you? Are you back to where you were pre-pandemic? Are you back to where you were before 14 days to flatten the curve turned into 2.5 years? Are you going back to church? Are you going back to, you know, are you still remote working? Are you going back to concerts and sporting events? I mean, it's amazing, too, to see the dichotomy. I know there are some folks, and you may not want to call in and confess this, but there are some folks who will go to a Saturday football game and be shoulder-to-shoulder in the crowd, but they're still not comfortable sitting in church with people singing. I don't understand that. I think that's a priority issue. But here's the thing. It's what they call endemic now. I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to pretend to be a doctor. I did not even stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But I will tell you this. There comes a point when you have to recognize we are not in pandemic mode anymore. It is endemic, meaning it is something like the flu. It's going to be here. There are people that I know right now. I had an email today about something going on in the legal world. The judge himself had to let me know that we may not have that hearing because, you know, his wife just tested positive and that he himself is getting tested. I get it. It's still out there, but it's endemic. And at some point, life has to go on. At some point, you recognize, okay, we can't just stay hunkered down because of what if. What if has passed us. Now, there are places right now where people are already putting masks back on. San Diego City school system, the parents are up in arms because they're talking about putting masks back on kids. The cloth masks, the studies indicate they are not successful. Unless you're going to put an N95 mask on everybody, even then it's not going to be a barrier. It's just going to be a somewhat of a preventative. But by and large, the cloth masks that everybody wears, those are generally useless. And the population that has the least amount of concern are children, are the youth of our society. They are the healthiest among us. They have fewer comorbidities. They have less to be concerned about in terms of pre-existing conditions that can be exacerbated by the effects of COVID. And yet, teachers' unions do have their say sometimes, apparently, and they're going to get masks in San Diego now. We've got some school systems talking about it in Alabama. Go figure. Why? I don't know. Well, I'm telling you this. There's a brick-and-mortar rebound. I saw a great story on AL.com that gave me some encouragement. What is happening with Toys R Us coming back? Yes, you heard me right. Post-pandemic, we're looking at brick and mortar. Is Toys R Us really coming back? Well, I tell you what, Kelsey, take us to a break. When we come back from this break, I'm going to give you some news that you are going to want for the Christmas season. I know it's a long way to Christmas, but yeah, Toys R Us may be coming back. I think that's pretty cool. I'll give you the down and dirty, the skinny on that when we get back. Brick and mortar, y'all. Brick and mortar's on a rebound. Not just retail, other places too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll talk about it in a minute. Y'all stay tuned. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Okay, listen, I got some callers on the line. If you want to call in, I'll take those calls, 866-494-9866. I'm doing number 3 of the Triple Dipper, brick and mortar rebound, but I'll take calls on other topics too. So let me jump over there, line 2. The guy who held the longest so far is Mark from Athens. Hey, Mark, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Senator Williams.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate you. What's on your mind?
I was going to call in and tell you how my family and I made it through. I mean, my wife and I, I'm 60, my wife's 58. And in May of 2020, we got the original COVID. Did not have the boosters or the vaccines or anything.
Yeah.
We got the COVID. We're down about 10 days. Got back up, went right to it. Now, my church did shut down. My church started doing a Facebook Live broadcast. They're still doing that today, but they've opened up. We get a lot more on the Facebook. And we got it again. My wife and I got the Delta variants in, I think it was last year, and only down about 5 days. First time we were down about 10 days, and the second time down five. But now I feel like, you know, because we've not gotten the vaccine, we've got the natural immunities, and I'm not really worried about getting this Omicron thing. Or the B5 or whatever that's going around now. But I am very, very worried that with the Democrats running the show in Washington, D.C., that the closer we get to November, they're going to try and do the same by shutting it down, making you do mail-in and absentee voting and all of that, just like they did in 2020. And I think that's what they're going to try and do now, because they know they've got a sunk ship. It's already below water, way below water, and they have no way of getting it afloat.
I don't disagree with that at all, Mark. I think they've found that that's been their ticket so far. They get to exert more governmental control with that. They certainly can control the flow of how you go to vote. And I think we have to watch out for that. I'm hoping we're not going to see that kind of thing in Alabama, because state laws are going to apply to elections. But yeah, there's an attempt right now to create the next level of the pandemic, and truth be told, it's not what it was before, and it has become more endemic. Let me ask you this: you guys caught it twice. Charlene and I have been through it too. We got the earlier version, and it was rough on us. We were down for 2 weeks with it.
First time we got it.
So, did you guys have any regrets about getting back out?
No, none whatsoever.
Yeah.
That instills my faith in the Lord. If the Lord is going to plan that I get the disease, then my faith in the Lord is so strong that I know He will take care of me and see me through. And He did, twice.
Well, there you go. And I think the thing that we have to look at is there are some people that are living in fear, and right now the fear of COVID has become almost as bad as COVID itself, period.
But this what we got now, this Omicron and this B5 are so weak that I don't think, everybody I know that's getting the Omicron or the B5 now, they're out 3 days and then they're back.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had some friends with that same thing, and it's still frustrating because the stigma attached to it is rough.
Yeah,
but the symptoms don't wind up being near what they were before. Hey, Mark, I got another caller on the line. Thanks for your call, brother. Appreciate
you,
it very much. All right, take care.
Bye.
Hey, let me jump over to line three. Hey, it's Sparky. Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Phil. Mark hit on a very important point, and I believe in mine and my wife's experience are very similar to Mark with the times we've had COVID. I believe that people that have examined the history of what's happened and the responses in Washington, D.C. throughout the history of this virus, they better be more fearful of exactly what Mark alluded to, is a very specific plan to create panic, to pump up the panic exactly like they did in 2020, all in order to influence and or steal the election. It's not a question of if they're going to try. I'm telling you, they very definitely will. Never mind the disease is bad. It's a terribly, beautifully designed bioweapon, in my opinion. But it is what it is, and people have learned that they can live with it just like they can influenza and take normal human precautions. They're going to try and lock people down and instill the notion of mail-in voting to try and steal this election. There's not a doubt in my military mind.
Well, I think you're spot on. And like I said, I do believe that Alabama has less likelihood of that being the trend, but you know, Alabama doesn't carry the same number of electoral votes as some of the other states do, and I think you're going to see major attempts on this in places like Pennsylvania and California. And perhaps Michigan, it's going to be something to watch.
Well, to watch what happened in 2020,
yeah.
I think there was an honest attempt on the part of the far left to use the mainstream media to pump up fear over an admittedly bad disease, but to create a pandemonium that would allow them to push for mail-in voting. But they needed to destroy the economy. They needed to harm the economy, Trump's magnificent, unbelievable economy, in order to do that. And they succeeded so spectacularly beyond their own expectations. In the process, they looked left and right and said, look at all this power and control we've gained through all this fear.
Yes.
And as you said, if you got a winning formula, if you got a winning game plan, keep going back to it. And again, they're going to try. If we stick our head in the sand and play stupid and try to be politically correct, they're definitely going to try and do it again.
Yep. Sparky, as always, you are spot on, brother. Appreciate you. Thanks for calling in. Oh man,
thank you, sir.
Listen, that's Boomer, we got the best audience, but I'm just telling you. Thumbs up from Boomer, just for those of y'all that need to know. Well, I told you a minute ago, so by the way, when I say brick and mortar rebound, what I'm saying here is that there is a bouncing back right now of brick and mortar gatherings. Brick and mortar being the basically the physical structures that we used to go to on a regular basis. Places like movie theaters, churches, sports venues, retail shopping. And what I'm loving is the fact that there is evidence right now that we are finally starting to see the world say, hey, maybe we should get back out. And I love that. And the thing that brought it to my attention is an article on AL.com dated yesterday that says Toys R Us making a comeback with as many as 400 stores, including Alabama. Yeah! So, all right, those of y'all that were products of the 80s and 90s like me, oh, yeah, man, Toys R Us. It didn't matter how old you were. You wanted to go wander the aisles and go, man, if I were 6 years old again, man, if I was 11 years old again, man, if I was 17 years old again. Okay, so all that to say, Toys R Us appears to be coming back, and they're doing it in a unique way. Other brick and mortars are incorporating them into the fold. So we're going to head to a break here in 1 second. When I get back, my intent is to walk you through some brick and mortar stuff, some stats, some things that are happening. And if you want to call in, I'll still take those calls. Why? Because I love this audience. That's why. 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, hey, by the way, as we talk about brick and mortar, we talk about things getting back to normalcy. By the way, I reject the idea of new normal. New normal is for losers. New normal, no. I want normal normal. That's what I want. Just so you know. But having said that, let me just say that one of the things that's happening, too, is, you know, for the longest time there, you couldn't find people to go back to work. I mean, how many times did you go to the fast food place, and if you were lucky if the drive-thru was open? But, you know, there was nobody going back to work. A lot of them were being paid not to work. But it's not that way anymore. But I will say this. My friends over at ZLA Solutions, I was talking to them the other day. They are still wearing it out right now when it comes to getting people back to work. So if you personally are looking for a job, a good job, a job that pays more than a living wage, a job that pays a good, solid income, sometimes with benefits, ZLA Solutions is one of the best around right now at putting people and jobs together. Go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. I'm just telling you, the jobs are posted all over North Alabama. If you are, although, an employer and you need to fill out the ranks of your workforce, you need more people. Maybe you need an entire shift. Maybe you need just a crew. Maybe you need a few select pieces filled in the blanks on your manning roster. I'm just going to tell you right now, that's what they do, man. ZLA Solutions, that's their bread and butter. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, blue collar, white collar, no collar. It don't matter. ZLA Solutions, one of the best around at getting people back to work. You check them out at ZLAUSA.com. They like to say, by the way, at ZLA, we don't make it. We just make it better. That's their deal, to make your business better. All right, listen, brick and mortar. You want to call in the last half hour here, 866-494-9866. We'll take those calls. Toys R Us. Did you, by the way, Boomer, did you ever, do you remember Toys R Us?
Yes, I remember Toys R Us. I mean, I remember as a kid running up and down those aisles.
It's like Fantasyland.
Screaming at me.
it's like Candyland for, you know, just somebody with a sweet tooth. It was amazing. Every conceivable toy that you didn't have as a kid was in there.
I'm scared now that I would be going back with my son. So
I'm telling you,
come back to bite me.
Oh, they have walkie talkies and they have toy soldiers and they have everything there.
Oh, he's gonna love it.
Okay, so Toys R Us, AL.com reporting. Toys R Us is making a comeback in time for the holiday season. It says the toy megastore, thanks to a partnership with Macy's, will make a return to every Macy's store in the country this holiday season. That's cool. So they're going to set up inside of Macy's. They've reached a partnership with Macy's. So beginning later this month, this story came out on AL.com yesterday. Beginning later this month and rolling out through October 15th, these in-store stores are going to set up with roughly 1,000, sometimes up to 10,000 square feet, depending upon the store. The one for Alabama is going to be the Macy's in Hoover at the Galleria, I guess. Is that the Galleria? I think it is. So to celebrate the openings, all of Macy's stores are going to host 9 days of in-store events from October 15th to October 23rd. Family-friendly activities, daily giveaways from the brands like Barbie and Lego and all that kind of stuff. Toys R Us. When I saw this, that's what sort of triggered the idea of doing a section on brick and mortar. Well, so here's a story from, Retail.com, I believe. Anyway, U.S. retailers opened twice as many stores as they closed. See, what we're seeing here is there's been a rebounding. And in fact, the opening line of the article I'm looking at, it was dated March 28th, so this is a few months old. It says, call it the great rebound from the retail apocalypse. It says, U.S. retailers announced the opening of 8,100 store locations, twice as many as they closed last year, even as the pandemic continued to snarl up supply chains and impact consumer shopping behaviors. I love this because, see, folks, this is America saying, you know, forget the new normal. Forget this new normal crap. It's time to go back to normal. You know what? If you want to go shopping, let's go shopping. You want to go to a concert? Let's go to a concert. If you want to go to a sporting event? Go to a sporting event. If you want to spend time with your church, go to church. I mean, Hebrews 10:24 says, let us not forsake our assembling together as some are wont to do, but encourage one another to love and good deeds. Yes. And we should do it, by the way, it says, and do it all the more as we see the day drawing near. Assembling together means something. I recognize the value of times when you have to watch it online. Charlene and I have done that. Every once in a while, we call it pajama church. It's very rare, but we do that. But, you know, during that early part of the pandemic, everybody did that. And I'm glad we were able to take the technology of today and be able to make it work. But folks, we're not there anymore. I saw a video yesterday of a lady who was on a public transit. And she literally came on the bus. She came on the bus and she was wearing, you know, the mask and the face shield. And then she began to wrap her section in saran wrap. Like she was building a saran wrap barrier around herself while everybody else was just watching going, what is wrong with you? She's living in fear. And I want to encourage you. Yes, COVID can suck. Yes, COVID is still out there. So is the flu. So is hay fever. And it is time for us to consider moving forward and getting back to the brick and mortar gatherings. Listen, Retail.com is saying that auto parts retailers rebounded perhaps more than others. They said discount stores, dollar stores, off-price stores, warehouse clubs, they rebounded more than others. Some of the brands that they saw that were struggling, like pharmacy retailer CVS, actually closed more stores, but that was in part, I think, because of what they were facing in other places. But the end result of this is brick and mortar's coming back. Forbes has an article dated February of this year. And Forbes article says brick and mortar sales grew faster than e-commerce did in 2021. Cool, because it didn't the year before. U.S. Department of Commerce Retail Indicator Division, They got a division for everything, man. Released the December 2021 monthly retail trade report on Wednesday, February 16th of this year, giving a complete picture of 2021. It says the top line number for the U.S. retail sales for 2021 were $6.6 trillion, representing a 17.9% growth from the previous year. Praise God. What that means is, especially you small store owners, people are coming back and they're pushing open your doors and they're perusing your wares. It says before the pandemic in 2019, e-commerce, that's, you know, ordering all your stuff online, the Amazons and all, was only 10% of all retail sales. In the middle of the pandemic, it grew to 13.6. In 2021, it was still roughly 13.2, but it's flattened. Right now, people are going back to the stores. I'll never forget, I had a friend of mine, I said this on the show before, I had a friend of mine who owns a chain of jewelry stores, small jewelry stores, mom and pop style jewelry stores. And he literally called me one day and he goes, Phil, why is it okay that Governor Ivey says I'm non-essential and I'm shut down, even though I know how to clean my store, I know who my customers are, I know how to wipe down the counters, but I'm shut down. And right down the street from me, Walmart is open and they've got a jewelry counter and they're selling stuff and I can't make a living. He said, why is that okay? I said, it's not okay. It's just not. But right now what we're seeing is people like him, they've begun to find their voice. And those of us who are consumers, you and I, we have got to make sure that we recognize that it's not just what you and I are going through. Sometimes it's about the community. Sometimes it's about getting out there and saying, hey, my brother and my sister who own that store, hey, my friends that have that little mom and pop restaurant, hey, folks who have the food wagon, hey, you know, the folks that own the concert hall, hey, folks that have the band that want to play, let's do it. Hey, my pastor, I'm sorry that I haven't been there in a while. I'll be, you know what, I'm coming back Sunday. And oh, by the way, I'm also going to be there, not only going to be there on Sunday, I'm going to be the one passing out bulletins and greeting people at the door. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. You know why? Because the world is waking up and they're realizing we need each other. We have to stand shoulder to shoulder sometimes. And I think it's time. I got a little more on this when we get back. Kelsey, go ahead and move us to the last break of the day. We'll take that last break. We'll come right back. We'll finish this up. What's happening with movie theaters? And what are the stats on churches? I'll tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Conservative, just plain right. So let me just take a moment here. It is 4:51 p.m. That's go-home time for most of y'all. You're in the go-home mode. You may be thinking, man, what am I doing for dinner? Or for that matter, what are you doing for breakfast in the morning? Well, let me just suggest to you Just Love Coffee Cafe. Just Love Coffee Cafe with two locations in our listening area. Just Love's all over the place, but two locations in our area, one on Hughes Road in Madison out near City Hall, the other one on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Yeah, they got a menu, man. So, yes, is they have coffee? Sure they have coffee. I mean, they got great coffee. That's why they're called Just Love Coffee Cafe. But they've got a ton of other stuff. So, yeah, Boomer, let me ask you real quick. What you in the mood for, bro?
I need a hot sandwich right now.
This was not staged. I asked him. He just said hot sandwich.
I'm kind of hungry.
All right, so I pull the menu up right now. I'm looking at the menu. Would you take a wrap? I
mean, yes.
They have sandwiches. They have wrap. Let me read to you the Jive Turkey Wrap, which happens to be one of my favorites.
Ooh.
The Jive Turkey Wrap, a flour tortilla, turkey, bacon, provolone, spinach, and creamy pepper jelly spread with served with chips and a pickle spear.
Yum.
Or you can do the grilled Italian caprese. By the way, grilled in a waffle iron, thank you very much. Mozzarella cheese, basil pepper jack cheese, sliced tomato served on sourdough with a side of balsamic vinaigrette, chips, and a pickle spear.
Man.
Okay, yeah.
I like it.
I'm just saying, they got food, dude. They got food.
And then what about the coffee for my wife? Because she has to have it.
All right, so she is like Charlene calls some the treat coffees, and then there's regular coffee. So what is she
probably into? Like a treat coffee? Like, do they have frappuccinos?
Yeah, dude, they got frappuccinos. They got the lattes. They got the cappuccinos, the mochas, the I don't even know what a breve latte is, but that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, she'd just be happy with me if I brought one of those home for her.
All right, Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. And please, when you go there, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I get a kick out of them telling me that people are coming in saying, heard about this on Right Side, had to come get one. All right, let's wrap this thing up, man. Brick and mortar. What do you think? Brick and mortar. So brick and mortar sales are on the rebound. What about movie theaters? I'm just wondering, I mean, how many of y'all went to a movie in recent history? You're like, it's so good to be back in the theater. Charlene hasn't seen it with me yet. I gotta take my lovely wife to see Top Gun. But I actually went with some friends one time, not long ago. And here's this is not a spoiler, but here's the cool thing. As the movie starts, right, you get through all of the various, you know, trailers of different movies that are coming, that's one of my favorite parts, to be honest. Tom Cruise came on and just sitting there, just being Tom Cruise, sitting there, just kind of smiling. He goes, hey, isn't it good to be together? And people in the audience, you could hear the murmurs. Yes. So movie theater rebound is real. Deadline.com, storyline dated May of this year. Deadline.com says that movie theater rebound is real, but there's also a film shortage because, you know, one of the things that we're dealing with is they've got to have reasons that people want to go back to a theater. Streaming became quite the thing. Streaming is still quite the thing. I just finished watching The Terminal List on Amazon, which was, by the way, pretty epic. But Cinemark CEO Sean Gamble says there's a relative shortfall of new films. That's going to be the biggest headwind his company faces this year. It's not that people aren't going back. It's the fact that they have less to draw them back. So he says many switched into 2023. Some of the biggest movies have already pushed themselves into 2023. But Gamble, the CEO of Cinemark, he explained during the company's first quarter earnings call that there's also a larger reconsideration of the theatrical window. In other words, they're rethinking how they do things. They're restyling their business models to try and get things into a manageable content to bring it into the theaters and get it done. Because why? Because people want to go to the theater. People grew up going and getting popcorn and a soft drink and sitting down in the theater and having this giant screen in front of them with the stereophonic sound. And so I'm glad to hear there's a rebound coming right now for brick and mortar theaters. Streaming has got its place. There's going to be hybrid models. You're going to wind up seeing them go to the theater first for first releases. And then some have limited first releases for streaming where you can get it like in a pay-per-view status. And then you're going to also see stuff where they build the hybrid and you go one for a while and then the other for the rest. We're doing that now. And you're going to see some occasionally, like, you know, The Terminal List was a series and they came out on Amazon. Netflix still doing its thing. But here's the deal. People like getting together and getting out. And brick and mortar theaters are bouncing back. And that's a good to know. So Toys R Us. Brick and mortar. Here's the last one I got. Churches. You know, I quoted Hebrews 10:24 a while ago. Just, you know, let us consider how we might encourage one another to love and do good deeds and not forsake our assembling together as some are wont to do. And all the more as we see the day drawing near. A story in June of this year from research at lifeway.com. It says that right now, churches are rebounding, but that we're still down from where we were pre-pandemic. It says a quarter of Christian adults in the U.S. say they're attending a church at least weekly, down from a third who say they attended as regularly as prior to the pandemic. So in other words, what we're seeing here is 25% of Christian adults in the U.S. are going to brick-and-mortar churches again, but it was 30% or 33% before the pandemic. When asked about their church attendance before COVID-19, 34% said they attended four or more times in a typical month. That's before COVID. 30% attended one to three times, 36% attended less than once a month. Now, 26% say they attend four times a month. So we're down here, what are we down, 8%? So here's the deal. Churches are rebounding. There's a growth in the reattendance, if you will, from where we were, but we're not back to normal. And again, like I said before, I reject the idea of new normal. New normal does not mean we just watch church online from now on. New normal does not mean we only see movies streaming. New normal I reject the idea that the world is going to stop buying in a brick and mortar store. People still want to try the clothes on first. They want to touch the toys before they buy them. They might want to, you know, check out some of the wares. They want to basically look at the watermelon and see whether it's, you know, it thumps right. All this to say, there is a place for e-commerce, and there's a place for streaming. There's even a place for online church going. But that should not be the norm. And we have got to push this rebound into pre-pandemic levels. Because if we settle for what they want to call the new normal, then we have given in. If we want to settle for the idea that, you know, it's okay to just kind of quit gathering, then they win. But if we're willing to go back out and go to the games, go to the concerts, go to church, go shopping at Toys R Us, we win. And oh, by the way, when that happens, it also means that we're not scared to go back to the polls and vote at the midterms. And that's a big deal. All right, folks. Love you. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Back here tomorrow at 2. You guys have a great night.